Well, Father, we just praise you and we thank you, Lord, for being our God. We love you, Lord. We love what you're doing in our lives. You're cleaning us up, Lord, and you're making us ready for this great event that's fixing to happen. Father, we just praise you for all the work you're doing in every one of us, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that tonight that you anoint everyone who comes in the conference calls with your presence, Lord, and with wisdom and understanding of what everyone's talking about. And Lord, we just ask and we pray for your anointing to speak the things that you'd have us to speak tonight, and that we would give the testimonies to glorify you and you alone, Father. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're right with us. You're holding our hands and you're guiding us and you're leading us and you're watching the doors of our lips to speak only as an oracle of God. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for tonight's going to be a special time with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, okay. Any kind of prayer request before we really get started here? I got one. I'd like to have y'all to pray with me. Father, believe with me. Couple your faith with mine. Lord, I ask that you slam the door to my daughter Courtney going to Nepal on this trip that she's got planned, that her company has her plan to go on the 18th, I believe it is. I mean the 21st. Lord, I thank you that you're going to slam that door shut and she's going to be home with her family during that time. And Lord, I thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. I ask, Father, that you also work in her life, as I've often prayed. And I thank you for doing that, Lord. Thank you for working in her life. She has a heart to do the things that you want your people to do, Lord. She wants to go over there and serve the people of Nepal for a couple of weeks. But, Lord, I just ask that you slam that door shut for her. Keep her home in Jesus' name. Father, I lift up Blake, my grandson, to you, Lord. And I thank you for the special work you're doing in him, too, Lord. Because I know that you've told me that you're even bringing him to Tennessee at some point in time. I don't know when. Doesn't make any difference, Lord. But I know that you're working in his life. And I praise you for that, Lord. And I thank you for working in that boy in Jesus' name. Lord, he wants to learn a Votech skill. That's fine. But, Lord, I'd rather he learn about you, Lord. And I ask that you place a hunger in his heart for the word of God and give him understanding in it as well, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else? What about testimonies or a praise report?
Michael, this is Malcolm.
Yeah, Malcolm.
I just want to thank the Lord for my, you know, I mentioned before my cousin and her family and her brother and his family. They're at 10 o'clock this morning, they were allowed to return back to their homes. All the people up there on the hill there where there was threatened with fire. So the National Guard is up there with personnel with the military vehicles and whatnot, but at least they're being allowed to get back up there.
So they've got control of the fire, it sounds like, huh?
For now, yes. They just... they're not very wealthy people, or I guess that's overstating it, but
yeah.
So I'm just grateful. And there, I just talked to you know, I guess I was the one that let them know because I've been monitoring the radio repeater, but you know, Lord's putting them through stuff, and I think it's really good. That, you know, even though these things are hard, it just causes people to think and set priorities and whatnot.
Amen. Amen. Malcolm, are the amateurs up there, are they running the emergencies communications up there?
In our county, they're overwhelmed. The SAR group, the search and rescue people, the guys are doing, I understand, 12-hour shifts, and people are getting pretty burned out. But it's good to have that communications backbone while things are, while all this destruction is going on.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, the way that the communications infrastructure is set up, the standard, the phone lines, cell site towers and all that, it's predicated on the, not everybody being on at once. But when disasters happen, the whole network gets overwhelmed. So that's why it's nice to have specialized people that are specialists in communication protocols and whatnot.
Yeah, that's. I know that in the past that they've had protocols for emergency messages to go through, and for people to shut down and let them go through and try to get a hold of somebody. And that's the way it needs to be.
Yeah, we don't know. Where exactly everything's headed, but a lot of the. The geoengineering projects, the climate control and whatnot is directly responsible for the fires. But the Lord has everything in hand.
Amen.
So it's neat to see how God is using the. He's working, through everything. It's just wonderful to know that God's in charge and trust in Him. And even though we don't always see exactly what all is going on, we can still trust in Him, and He can hide us, and He can do all these things to just take care of His people.
Amen. All right, has anybody else got a praise report or a testimony? Or prayer? Would like prayer? I did want to mention something that I ran across the other day. I don't know how many of you been keeping up with this Planned Parenthood fiasco, this diabolical evil mess that they're doing, but there are, and it's coming out now, that they are selling live babies now. They call them live fetuses, but we all know what they are. They're babies. They're selling live babies to labs and things. And it's just evil. That's what's going on in behind the doors of Planned Parenthood, and our government is sponsoring them, and has been for years. So I want to pray against them, Lord. I just ask and I pray that you get this evil, wicked Planned Parenthood exposed. To the every one of them that's doing this evil work, Lord, and I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to shut this thing down. They're murdering babies. They're torturing them. Father, I just thank you for taking care of that and just exposing them and taking their money away and shutting that outfit down in the name of Jesus. I command Satan to get his hands off of these young women in Jesus' name. I bind up all the works and activities of this murderous spirit in the lives of these doctors and nurses in Jesus' name. And I bind you up from all the activity you're doing against these innocent babies in Jesus' name. Amen. Does anybody agree with me?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Amen. Michael?
Thank you. Yes.
We should also be praying for our brothers and sisters, because like half the people that go to Planned Parenthood are supposedly Christians.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, Lord, we just ask that you open up their eyes to see what they're supporting here. They're supporting this evil, wicked organization, Lord, and the people that are in it, Lord, and just open it up and show them, Lord, what's going on with Planned Parenthood, that they're killing these babies, these live babies. They're birthing them, and then they're killing them to get the parts off out of them, Lord. It's just a diabolical, wicked, evil plot, Lord, and we thank you for stopping this immediately in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we thank you for opening up these Christians' eyes, these so-called Christians' eyes that want to kill their babies, Lord, and place it in their hearts to love those young babies. And Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Place a fear of God on them, Lord. Boy, that works. I'm telling you, that works. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You know, I think we need to forgive the body of Christ for allowing it because of the sin that's in the church. That's why it has been unleashed. And so I just appreciate your prayers on this matter.
Well, yes, absolutely. Lord, we ask your forgiveness for the brothers and sisters. Lord, we ask that you place it in their heart to repent and draw them to you, Lord, for allowing this to happen. In Jesus' name. And Father, we ask and we pray that all the ones that have supported this in the past that call themselves Christians, that you would show them the error, to show them the evil that's being done with their support of this diabolical corporation. And Father, we thank you for doing that. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to completely stop it. We know, Lord, why this judgment's coming. It's to get people's mind, get their eyes on you, Lord. We know, Lord, that's why it's happening. And we praise you, Father, for doing that, because we know when bad things happen to people that they get their eyes on your elect, Lord. They get their eyes on you, and they come running to you, Lord. And I praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
God says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and we're seeing it right and left.
Yep. Yep. Amen. Can you mute your microphone, Linda? Because I'm hearing a lot of background noise.
Yeah, can you? I can't mute mine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can get you.
Okay.
All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share? Testimony, praise report, prayer time.
Just want to bring up Stephen there in prison. Just to remember him.
Yep.
The situation there.
How's he doing, Malcolm? Have you heard from him?
Yeah, I usually am in touch with him every day.
And, you can email him.
Yeah, and also I'm getting them the UBBS. I try to keep him up to date on the broadcast, the Sunday and Wednesday broadcasts and the scripture texts.
Awesome. Well, just tell him we love him and we are praying for him.
Yeah, I will. I just sometimes I just feel for him. It must be frustrating and difficult to be, here we're involved in helping with, you know, radio or different projects. We work around the house or all the different things that we do. And I just think about Stephen. He's still limited in what he can do there.
Yeah.
So a lot of things we take for granted in our lives. Just the freedom to come and go and whatnot. So,
amen. Well, let's just pray for him.
Yeah.
You want to pray for him?
Sure. Yeah, Lord, I just thank you for. We want to praise your name for placing Stephen there. We know we're to rejoice. We're to praise you in hard times as well as good times. And Stephen's behalf, we just want to praise your name that you have worked this out. and that you have not forgotten him, and that you will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. For him and for his family, for Helen and their children, and I thank you for what you're doing through their children. I pray that you embolden his two kids that are going around to the working for you. I just pray that you will give them boldness, holy boldness, and effectiveness, Lord, as they work in your behalf. And I thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for your presence in his cell there, Lord. And as he walks, Lord, we thank you for talking to him and showing him the things that you want him to do, Lord. Being a light, Lord, to the people around him, Lord. We just praise you for that. In Jesus' name. Oh, my. Had to sneeze. Sorry about that. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else?
I think we need to offer a woman some prayer here. Her name's Kim Davis. She's the clerk for Rowan County, Kentucky. And she's standing up against the legalization of homosexual marriage. And she is not allowing a gay couple to apply for a license to get married. She's standing up against that. And I'm reading this out of World Net Daily. They asked her what her authority was. She said her authority was under God's authority, that she was not going to authorize this. She didn't care about the Supreme Court authority. She said God's authority overrules the Supreme Court's authority. And so she's probably going to be under a hailstorm of, you know, the people that want to attack Christianity and attack everything that's right in this world, that then move loose in this country. So, dear Lord, we want to offer prayer for Kim Davis to support her during this time. I know this is her stand, and we're standing with her because we're her brothers and sisters, but we know at the same time she's putting herself out there to be attacked. So I ask that you give her family divine protection and her during this time as she stands up against this evil government we now have, whom we're dealing with, and help her through this situation. Give her wisdom, and we applaud the courage, because we all may have to be called to do this someday and stand up for what we know is right in God's word. I'm not sure where you're taking this with her, but Lord, I just ask that you give her that wisdom and how to handle all this, because she's already defied federal authorities on this, the federal courts. So I just put that in front of you now, Lord. And if anybody else has any prayer they want to offer how to deal with this in wisdom, I bring it this now in front of everybody.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, protect her. Lord, do whatever's necessary to uphold her. Lord, I ask that you intervene in her life and guide her and direct her in the way that you want her to do. If you want her to step down because of it, that's fine. Whatever you want, Lord, that's what we want for Kim Davis, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for a woman that's got courage enough to stand up against something that's as wrong as this gay marriage deal is. Father, we praise you for that, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, David.
Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you will give us just wisdom, your wisdom, Lord, words of knowledge, and knowing what battles to pick, how to deal with them, or if you want us to just intercede, just, Lord, you show us the right way. Help us not to go beyond you or lag behind you. But when you called the disciples, they just picked up and left and went with you. Help us just to be with you. Thanks, Lord.
Amen. Yes, Lord. We want to be in your perfect will. We don't want to step outside of it. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share or pray about? How many of you, has everybody been listening to the broadcast David's been putting out? about the things that are happening? Is there anybody that has not, let me put it that way, been keeping up with what's going on? Because there's a lot going on, and it looks like that this month is going to be the pivotal month that everything starts. Don't know that for a fact, but it, man, we are getting so many confirmations, so many dreams and visions and words of knowledge and natural, supernatural things that are happening that God is just pouring it into us, to showing us that this thing is coming up very close. I would encourage everybody to listen to the broadcast tomorrow night. And if you didn't listen to it Sunday, listen to that. David's got a lot of information that he's been putting out there. And it's time to get ready. It's time to seek out the Lord. And also, you might do a few things around, you know, if something happens and you need water, you need to stock up a little bit on water, get you a Berkey filter or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. I'm just trying to throw it out there a little bit. Just think of the things that you're going to absolutely need for like a 2-week period or a 30-day period. I know we can rely on the Lord, you know, and that's good. We're going to have to. You're going to have to. Listen, if anybody's on medication out there, seek the Lord. Learn. Read the Real Good News. That's an absolute faith-building book. Because medication is not going to be available during the wilderness experience. It's not going to be available at all unless you take the mark, unless you go into the FEMA camps to get it. That's just what it's going to be. And if you're a child of God, you need to be walking by faith. And to do that, we renew our mind with the Word of God. And I tell you that, like I said, the Real Good News is a real good book to build your faith up quickly. Amen. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to add?
Hey, Michael.
Yes.
This was just a confirmation I thought was interesting I got today, but I was talking to a brother, and he basically went to a meeting, and this meeting, his business, he deals with the banks, and it's got something to do with dealing with foreclosures and that. And he said he went to a meeting a couple weeks ago, and a big corporate meeting, and the person presenting said that back in 2008 we were not prepared for what was going to happen in the in the housing market, and then he stated that he told everybody to get ready because there's something coming this fall. And they're just trying to get prepared for it. And this was total secular, with the banking industry. And, he just, you know, he was in this meeting and he threw it out, and, you know, he's aware of the Shemitah and, everything, you know, the blood moon and all the things David's been teaching about. And, and all the, you know, the things that are lining up with September, and then he goes to this secular meeting, and that gets thrown out. So I just thought that was very interesting.
When you say it was thrown out, Tim, you mean they disregarded what he said?
No. This was coming from the bank.
Oh, okay.
This wasn't prophecy or, you know, thus saith the Lord. This was coming from a secular bank that deals with foreclosures, and they said that they weren't ready for 2008 for, you know, what happened, but they were basically telling people to get ready for this fall.
Yeah.
And these,
so how do,
you know, what's that?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But this is totally secular. I mean, this is coming from a corporation that deals in the banking industry, and it's based on, you know, foreclosures, and you know, he's telling the people that deal with that to get ready for this fall.
How do you prepare for a foreclosure? I don't know. That's stuff's over my head.
I can tell you how I did. I packed my stuff and moved out.
That's right.
Well, kind of what I'm thinking. If there's so many people that are going to be losing their homes because of all these loans they can't pay, the bank has no money that you can draw from in the first place, but they're asking for the money from you. How are they going to kick everybody out at one time? They kind of wonder about that.
Well, what I think is happening is the big boys are doing this to take over. You know, they can control the people by getting them out of the houses and putting them in FEMA camps and that type of thing when this thing goes. You know as well as I do, if there is, it's imminent. Look, it is imminent. It's going to happen. I talked to a lady that is like Tim, that is privy to a lot of information, and she said there's no way that they can get past this year without everything in the world collapsing because of the paper money that they're throwing at these things, and even at that. Y'all know that eventually it still catches up to you, and they've been doing it for years now, and now it's all over the world. You're seeing the stock markets going down, all of them, not just one or two of them, every one of them. You can't name a stock market that's not going down in the world, and it's an imminent thing, and just like Tim's friends there said, they're preparing for this thing. The banks are. They're preparing to. And I'll tell you something, a lot of banks are going to fold. Most of the banks are going to fold, and the big boys are going to take over the little boys. And it's just going to be a bad time. I can see where, and it's not for us to fear, okay? It's for us to prepare and be in the ark of Christ so that he can provide for us, that we say these things. To prepare your hearts with the Lord. This stock market, if the banks close, let's say they had a holiday for like they did back in 1929, they declared a holiday for 6 weeks. Where are the people that are on Social Security? Where are the people that are on disability? Where are the people that are working for the government? the military, all of that, where are they going to get something the money to eat with? Most of the Social Security people are living, and welfare are living check to check, you know, and people going to get stupid when they can't get something to eat. And so we need to be, here's what we pray. We're praying that the Lord takes us out of the, government records. We're praying that our houses are, supernaturally shielded from any government agencies, and that no one can see us. We've even, as far where David and I live, you can go on Google Earth and sometimes you can see this house and sometimes you can't. God's showing us that he can protect anyone that's his elect. He can protect his elect, and he's going to do it. And he's going to do it. All we have to do is believe. We pray it, and then we believe it. We thank the Lord for doing it for us. And that's what we're coming to. So, anyway, bad times ahead for those that are in the world, who's got a foot in the world and a foot in the kingdom. You can't have a foot in the kingdom and a foot in the world anyway. You're either in the kingdom or you're not. That's just a matter of fact. But if you do have a foot in the world, then you better start seeking the Lord, because that world is going to turn against you like a mad dog if you call yourself a Christian. And get in the ark of Christ. Want the Lord to work in your life, and run toward the Lord as hard and as fast as you can. because it's the time to do that right now. We've got a little while, very little time left before this thing takes off, I believe. All right, anybody else want to expound on what we're talking about here?
Can I interject just a couple of things real quick?
Sure.
Anyway, just last week I was reading where Citigroup, you know, one of the biggest, largest banks in the world, they just had transferred something like 3.something billion ounces of gold over to Russia and $33 billion over to Russia from the United States. And then a few days after that, HSBC, some big bank also, after the stock markets crashed, they said it was a computer glitch, but they weren't able to pay any of their employees. So I don't know if anybody's read about those or not. But like you were saying, this is all of it's the plan, right? It's the plan to bring everybody down to where they'll accept what they're wanting them to accept. That's it.
Amen. That's right. They're trying to control people. They're spraying the skies with chemicals that will dummy down people so they won't be social misfits, as they put it. In fact, they have targeted Christians mostly in the Bible Belt with this particular kind of chemical that it's I don't know what you would call it. It's a targeting chemical that targets the area of the brain that soothes down that, they call it fundamental religion, fanatical
fun
religion.
They call it.
Huh?
They call it fun facts. The fun facts.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a vaccination against fundamentalists.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in the DOD thing that I saw, they were talking about the Muslims, but we all know that they're talking about fanatic Christians too. They didn't specify anything. But anyway, they've been targeting that. And as you can see, this wouldn't, the things that are going on in the United States would never, they would never have gotten away with it 40 years ago, 30 years ago, maybe even 20 years ago. It's just here recently that they've allowed, you know, what's going on to go on. But anyway, we just pray and we believe we don't pick up our sword against the flesh. We pick up our sword against the spiritual. And that's where our attacks should be targeted, is against the spirit world that's coming against God's people. We ought to be praying against God's elect all across this world, that God would provide and protect them. Every day we ought to be thanking God for doing that. All right,
you know,
anybody
Michael?
Else? Yes?
Michael, I was just thinking about, in fact, I had a dream. I've had a couple dreams kind of along this line recently, but I've been thinking about Daniel. As I know I've mentioned before, but he, there's no evidence that he resisted, but he sounded like he cooperated and was winning the favor of his captors. And in fact, he convinced them to have him come before Nebuchadnezzar and you know, all that. So, I mean, that's a lot of, you know, if he'd been resisting like the others had been, then he wouldn't have been in the position he was with Nebuchadnezzar, and the Lord couldn't have used him that way. So I don't know. The Lord may be putting some of His people into pretty high level situations, even though they're still in a captive situation. They're still very, very influential in the kingdom.
Well, listen to this. What do you think about the Lord? Say Obama's in his White House in the Oval Room there. He's doing a little business. And all of a sudden, a Christian, a man-child, gets translated inside the office and says, "Hey, man, what's up?" You know, just shows up. And he starts talking to him and giving him the wisdom of God. What do you think? He's going to listen to him, isn't he? I think that's something that may be happening. That could happen in the future. We know that people out of Christ's group, this elect, are going to be translated in different areas at times. You know, God's not You know, he can do whatever he wants to. He's done that in the past, and he'll do it again. I don't see why that couldn't happen, you know, with our officials too, that we would have favor with them in that respect. It has to be something that would be supernatural in order to get their attention, I'm sure, unless God just, you know, supernaturally, which would also be supernaturally, change their perspective of him. Because they have no regard of the Lord right now at all.
Well, it's interesting that Daniel, he was, not only was he beloved of heaven, but he was, you know, the different kings sought after him other than Belteshazzar.
Yeah.
They really highly respected him. And, his, of course, this one king was very distraught that Daniel was stuck in the predicament he was in. And he went without, you know, it's hard to know how could a king fast overnight. You know, most people don't eat at night anyway. But, you know, I mean, it's just a portrayal of the how distraught this king was over Daniel's sick situation. And yet Daniel was, one of the captives, and yet he had tremendous authority in the kingdom, and the other three companions of Daniel were also elevated to high positions.
Amen.
Well, so I don't know.
That's a great a parallel or a type in a shadow of what the man child is going to be doing. Also, Joshua is another, not Joshua, Joseph is another one. He was also favored. He'd been in prison. He got out, you know, Potiphar bought him, and then he went up high in his place and then lost favor there and went back to prison. And then the king brought him out. Lord gave him great insight, and same thing, supernatural, God's way. That's the way God likes to do it. He likes to take people that are base and unassuming and put wisdom in them, put them his wisdom in them, because they're humble. They already know that ain't nothing I can do to help these people. It has to be God. And that's what he's going to do, I believe, in the days ahead. He's going to use people like Joseph and like Daniel and like Moses. Moses is another prime example. You know, even though he was casting judgment on the Pharaoh all the time, he was doing it supernaturally through God. God was doing it. And then, you know, the things that happened with Moses was awesome. He's a type in the shadow of the man child. Joseph was. Lots of people were.
Yeah, and Moses, of course, all these people were very highly respected. But Moses, people were terrified of Moses.
Oh, absolutely.
And the courtiers, you know, around Pharaoh, they didn't want to mess with Moses. You know, he came in with Aaron and whatever armed guards they have, they weren't going to touch him.
Well, God wasn't going to allow it in the first place. But you're right.
But I mean, there was a holy terror there, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you'd think, you know, that, this guy ain't nothing. He come up in here telling me this, and he throws his rod down, and it turns into a snake. And my magicians can do that, but what happened? Moses' snake ate their snakes. Boy, that would scare me right then. You know, uh-oh, something wrong here. Something wrong with this picture. But God placed it in Pharaoh. Go ahead.
No, well, yeah. I mean, to walk up to the court through massive hail and terrible stuff, just kind of walk. I can just see him walking up confidently up the stairs and into the throne room, and everybody else is ducking for cover. You know, I mean, what a contrast.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it probably was too. Uh-oh, here comes Moses. I'm getting out of here. This guy, he ain't nothing but bad news, man. Every time he comes up in here, something happens. And you know, the funny thing about it, or not funny so much as the telling thing about it was that the first few judgments that were on the Israelis too. And to get their attention on God. God had to get their attention too. And then, of course, when they got their attention, then all the judgments were on the Egyptians. So yeah, praise God. So that's exactly what's fixing to happen. God's got to get the Christians' attention, and then he's going to take care of business. You know, at the end, America loses. All these other countries come against them, and they defeat America. But then God defeats the enemies of America too. Just like what happened to Babylon when the Assyrians came in and took over. And then he did away with the Assyrians too. So it's all a type and a shadow. The whole New Testament is a type and a shadow of what's going to happen here shortly. That's just amazing. Esther is another great example of the man-child ministry and the bride, the beautiful bride that God's got setting off in the wings waiting to come in and take her place. All right. Anyone else got anything they'd like to share?
Yeah, Michael.
Hey, Michael.
How are you doing, brother?
I am so blessed.
That's great. You know, this has been a time of really deep dealings in my heart. And, you know, it's the concept with, you see it in the book of James, and where he speaks about being doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself, you know. And there can be a strong deception. You know, I look on my bookshelf, I've got Watchman Nee books. I've read a lot of Watchman Nee books. I've read John G. Lake, Charles Price Smith, Wigglesworth, you know, Sparks, Tozer, all these men of God, you know. And you can get to a place where you've got all the principles and you know a lot of things because you've read the works of many men who spent their life and wrote down their works. But the concept of being a doer of the word and not a hearer of the word has really been stirring in my heart, because you can have principles on faith. You can have all of the right answers. Well, the devil's a good example. He knows all. He's a better theologian than we are. He knows what's true, what works, what doesn't, what's right. He knows the scripture. Not that he's obedient. He's a devil. But the bottom line is knowing the right things, having perfect doctrine, doesn't necessarily mean that you have a relationship with God. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have a walk with God or that your heart is after him as a person. And I think that we've got to be very careful that we don't have all the principles about all these things. We know about end times. We know about prophecy. We know about deliverance. We know about this. But Jesus said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And yet they testify of me. And you won't come to me that you may have life. The life is not in the doctrine, it's in the person. And it's so easy to know the theology about the bride, but are we in love with the Lord? Are we in love with the Father? Are we in love with the Lord Jesus Christ? Does our heart burn with desire to spend time with him, to yearn for him and to long for him, his presence? It just says in the scripture that the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. In his presence and at his right hand is pleasure forevermore. The greatest joy. We were made to worship God and to be in relationship with him. And we will never be what we are supposed to be in any realm until we find that place of union with God. People talk about the cross restores man. Well, man was not in relationship. Adam was, but we were not. And this is a new thing for us. We're on new territory. But I believe with all my heart that God is calling a people to himself. And the greatest preparation, you know, I look at that scripture. After it gets done with the faith, speaking of all the men of faith, and I won't go through that, but I'll say it starts in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, and he says, therefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. You know, the successful people in this hour and the successful people in old at facing the cross, facing martyrdom, facing persecution, facing affliction, are the people that have the clearest view of that eternal kingdom and the clearest view of the Lord Jesus Christ and the clearest view of the kingdom for which we are, is the pearl of great price. For that, when a man found a pearl of great price, he was seeking goodly pearls, but when he found one pearl of great price, sold everything he had that he might possess that pearl. And he says, so is the kingdom of heaven is like that. Or as a man, the kingdom of heaven is as a man who found a treasure in a field and for the joy thereof went and sold what he had to buy that field and to purchase it. We really need, the theology about heaven is not enough. A theology about the Lord Jesus is not enough. A theology about suffering is not enough. We need a revelation by the Holy Ghost. We need to see beyond the veil of this natural realm. We need a set of eyes that can see beyond this natural realm, a set of ears that can hear that is not heard with natural ears. We need to perceive God with the heart by faith, and it's not something you can do with your mind. Sometimes the mind is an enemy against that, the carnal mind, enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And knowing all the right stuff doesn't mean it. It's helpful to have good doctrine. That's good. But without relationship, without a clear vision, and a vision comes not with natural eyes, not with natural ears, and not with the perception of our own intellect. It's got to be a revelation of the Holy Ghost that we see beyond the veil of this natural realm. And when we see that joy, when eternity becomes more than a theological position, it becomes something that burns in our breast. The reality of it makes us sing for joy. The sufferings of the present time, not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Paul didn't have that by theory. He had the revelation. He had it. He embraced it, that if we sit with him, we will also reign with him. I'm just in my own spirit right now. I've mentioned this concept before, but just like the shutter of a camera, just a flick, just one glimpse beyond the veil with my spirit. And it birthed something in my spirit that I'm just yearning to get a hold of, because I believe God wants us to look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. How do you look at things that are not seen? It ain't with your carnal mind, and it ain't with your natural eyes. It's by the eyes of the Spirit. It's by the revelation of Christ that comes by the Holy Spirit. When he says in there, the anointing that you've received of him abides within you, and you do not need that a man should teach you. But that same anointing teaches you of all things, and it is truth, and it is no lie. And as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. The Holy Ghost wants to bring us to that abiding place with the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Lord Jesus speaks that I only do the things that I see my Father do, and only the words that he speaks do I speak. And I'm just encouraging you, brothers. Paul says in the scripture, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and power. There's going to be the difference between the men and the boys in this hour. And I see an awful lot of people right now on a thousand fronts, men professing one thing or another about the Lord or one angle or another about the scripture. But you want to know something that's really rare? It says in the scripture that it's not the man that commends himself that's approved. It's the man that God commends. And brothers and sisters, that is a rare commodity in this hour, to see the true, mighty commendation of Almighty God by his anointing, by his favor upon a vessel. And brothers, we need that. We need to. God is no respecter of persons. He says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven of the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. We need to be in that. God is not a respecter of persons. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. He says, don't you know that they which run in a race run all, but only one obtains the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. They do it for an earthly crown, or a corruptible crown, but we for an incorruptible. And he said, so run I, not with uncertainty, and so fight I, not as one that beats the air. I keep my body under subjection, lest that, having preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. The longing of Paul, when people tell me, hey, do you know the Lord? I say, no, I don't. I know a little bit about him. I've had some encounters with him. But to speak that word and just say, yeah, I know God. Here's Paul at the end of his life saying, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering. When you're dealing with the Almighty, The God who is a spirit, who inhabits eternity and humbles himself to look on the heavens and the earth and created man in his own image out of the dirt and took a woman and created out of the man's rib, a woman, a helpmate. That mighty God is not easily known. And he's not going to be known with natural faculties. He's not going to be known with your mind. He's not going to be known with your mind, your carnal mind, your just your carnal understanding, or even your natural experiences. It's got to be by the revelation of the Holy Ghost. It's got to be the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God, that which is seen beyond the veil. We've got to get a glimpse of that, because it's going to be that joy set before him that he endured the cross. Jesus saw clearly beyond the veil. He had the promise of God in the Psalms that thou wilt not leave my soul in hell or suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. He knew, and he knew his Father. He knew the voice of the Father. He knew the voice of the Holy Spirit. He knew to hear, how to hear. He was in that abiding revelation place. And brothers and sisters, be very careful in our hearts that we're not just, we've got a head full of principles. You can listen to 1,000 tapes. I used to listen to, you can go on the internet and listen to 450 A.W. Tozer tapes. You can listen to anything you want nowadays. And you know what? It doesn't mean much. Because unless that's accompanied by a deep hunger within your heart, a guileless desire for the living God. I said this before. I know that God spoke this to my heart. He has no tolerance for guile. Zero. Guile meaning ulterior motives. There's people that seek God. They want the power because they want the fame. There's people that want the power and the anointing because they want the crowds and the money. There's other people that want this whole thing of coming to a place of guileless desire for the living God. Where we're in a place where we hunger and thirst. My soul thirsts for the living God. It says, as a deer pants, Psalm 42, for the water brook, so thirsts my soul for the living God. My soul thirsts for thee, O God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? We can't fake God one bit. He has absolute mercy on a broken, bruised reed or a smoking flax, but he has no tolerance for guile whatsoever, zero. We come to God, we get earnest with him, we get honest with him, and we get to a place where we say, God, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. I know the theology, but oh God, may I see you. May I know you. May my heart burn with desire for the living God. May my heart burn with desire for the living God. Brothers and sisters, it's got to be reality. Our experience with the Lord has got to be something of the heart by the Spirit. And it's going to be that joy set before us. And that's a joy that we see by the eyes of the Spirit beyond the veil of this natural realm. And that we hear the speaking word of the Spirit. The Spirit, that word that brings faith to us. That when it says that faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. The living God is calling a people right now, and it's, brothers, we need to get just really, really honest with God, and we need to cry out to the living God for a burning desire and a burning heart for him, and it's going to be in that joy that comes by seeing by the Spirit and hearing by the word of the Lord that we're going to be in a place to, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. We'll endure the cross. We'll endure the sufferings. We'll endure the hardship. And the brethren in the Fox's Book of Martyrs were the same way. They saw beyond that veil. I listened to their testimony. These brethren were suffering for the cause of Jesus Christ. And it's going to be as we see clearly what we're buying into. Not just have the doctrine about it, that we're going to be in a position to overcome greatly. And God, right now, I can tell you something. I'll give you a word of the Lord. I'm going to speak a word of the Lord. I'm going to say, thus saith the Lord. There's divine grace right now that you've never known. There's divine enablement for you right now that you've never known. For those that have a true heart right now, that are truly seeking him, that truly desire to honor him and to please him, to bear fruit, to be faithful and obedient to the living God, right now, the water, God's troubling the waters, get in. God's troubling the waters, get in, brothers and sisters. Just like that fourth chapter of Revelation. And I heard a voice, as it were, a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up hither. God's calling us up right now. He's calling calling people up. He wants you to show them. He wants to give you a glimpse beyond the veil. He wants, like those men, these died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Did they see them with the eyes, natural eyes? No, they didn't. They saw them afar off. They were persuaded of them. They embraced them. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, had they been mindful of the country from whence they had come, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Brothers and sisters, when we get a glimpse like those men that saw by the Spirit beyond the veil of this natural realm, it's going to be that joy that gives us the divine enablement to endure the cross, to endure the suffering with joy, and then to be exalted at the right hand of God. That's what the Heavenly Father speaks of the Lord Jesus, and he says, he that overcomes, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, even as I have overcome and sit with my Father in his throne.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Michael. That was great and it's timely, very timely. Anybody got any comments?
Yeah, what struck home with me was, do you know the Lord? And, you know, that pride in us kind of flares up and it's like, oh, yeah, I know the Lord, but do we really know the Lord? And, you know, we're all trying to figure out the Lord. And the more I try to figure out the Lord, the more I'm realizing I don't know the Lord. I thought I did. I thought I knew, you know, how he operated and all that. And then the more information I get, it's like I see him do things that don't line up with what I think. And, I mean, it's just, but it's really, I love that, you know, just getting a glimpse behind the veil. And, you know, just getting that relationship and not, you know, not the doctrine, not all the head knowledge, but just really getting to know the Lord. So I just, that just blessed me. That was awesome.
Amen. Yeah, that's the way it is, Tim. It seems like the more we learn, the less we know about the Lord.
I think what struck me is the way, you know, Michael mentioned about revelation as opposed to natural thinking and understanding is going to be revealing. And what we're going to have to understand for what's coming is going to be more by revelation, not by natural understanding at all. So we're having to move into a realm of spiritualized, not a naturalized at all, a spiritual understanding. Be open to the leaning and the leading of the Lord spiritually, totally. So, again, we're growing. We're having to know Jesus and know the Lord in a way that, you know, we really have to walk by faith and make sure that we're feeling comfortable with that, totally.
Amen. You know, the Lord is working in each of us to walk out of this carnal life into that spiritual life that he wants us to be led completely by him. And I believe he's doing it. It's a slow process. It seems like it's way too slow for me in my life, but he is doing it. And we have to have the faith to believe that he is working that work in all of us. One thing that I would like to add to what Michael is talking about is we need to absolutely surrender our life to the Lord. And when you do that, your prayer life is going to be upgraded, for lack of a better phrase, because you're going to be praying more earnestly for the people around you, because God's going to place that love and that love in you that he has for his people, and he's going to make a servant out of you. He's going to make a servant of God out of each one of us. That love in our heart for each other is just going to be astounding. And like Michael was talking about, God's grace is going to abound a lot. He's turned up the heat in his grace. There's a lot of grace in God right now, and this is the time to take advantage of it. in the respect that we start crying out to him for these things, spiritual needs that we all have. The fruit of the Spirit is love. We need to have that love for the brethren enough to where we would pray for each other all the time and thank God for the things that he's doing in each of our lives. And get rid of self. That's a great curse. And that's a when I talk about self, I'm talking about whether it's in a relationship to God or to our fellow men in general or the fellow Christian. When you think of yourselves and seeking your own self in any form is a curse. But, you know, when Christ came to redeem us from self, we talk about the deliverance from that self-life, and we thank God for every word that can be said about it to help us. We need to get rid of self. We need to get rid of the world in our life. And we do that by renewing our mind with the word and praying and seeking God. You know, I'm really amazed at the patience and fortitude that past Christians, great Christians, have had. And what made them great Christians was their prayer life with God, their time with God, and their time to talk to God. And most of all, they would say they had to listen to God. And when you listen to God and you understand that God wants you to do certain things, and then you follow through by doing those things, acting on what God has told you to do, you know, that's the kind of Christian life that God absolutely adores in his people. Is to first thing in the morning is just to listen to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm here. I want to hear what you have for me this day. And then when he talks to you, when he ministers to you, and then you praise him and you thank him for those things, and then you can make your requests known to him in a confident way, because you know that he's going to answer your prayers. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share? Thank you, Michael. That was awesome.
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
No, I mean, you just hit a key is right there. It's just taking the time to listen to God. And I think that, you know, we can tend to be so wrapped up in, I mean, we got to get the thoughts of the world and the thoughts of, you know, what's distracting us in our life, and get those out of our head, and then get to a place where we can get into prayer, you know, with the Lord. And a lot of time we're just, you know, calling out or asking or, you know, rebuking or, you know, just, you know, we just get, you know, into that praying, you know, for our trials or, you know, stuff like that. But it's just that, you know, the key is, you know, really trying to get to the place where we're just, you know, in the rest, and we can just listen. And, you know, hear the Lord, because that's something that I find is very difficult. You know, you just kind of get so involved in just praying and, you know, needs and wants and praying, you know, for situations or whatever it is. And it's like, are you taking the time to really listen? You know, so kind of struck a chord there. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, that's essential. We tend to think of ourselves as sometimes as great prayer warriors. Well, that's great. That's good. And that's awesome. But we also need to spend time with just the Lord and allow him to speak in our life and to have him tell us what he wants us to go this way, or he wants us to do that, he wants us to do this, whatever, you know, whatever it is. I'll tell you something that shows a true Christian is one that has love for his fellow brethren. That's one thing that you can know that you have a true Christian walking around, is somebody that loves everybody, you know, and willing to sacrifice his life, himself for the brethren. Remember what John said that the Lord said? He said, love one another as I have loved you. That's the one commandment he asked. That's the number one commandment, he said, after loving the Lord. You love one another as Jesus loved us. He gave his life for us, and we should give our life for each other. That's the love that God loves. He said, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering. You know, that long suffering, we make fun of that a lot, but I'm telling you, that's the love that God puts in our heart, is long suffering. When somebody comes against you with a barb or with something, you know, that kind of irritates you a little bit, man, just have the love of Christ and look over that kind of stuff. We have to love one another unconditionally. That's the way God did. He loved us unconditionally. And love your enemies too. We don't like to do that, but that's a commandment of God. And when you have the love of Christ and you spend time with the Lord, he places that love in you. And when you spend time with the Lord, you spend time in the Word, and you spend time in quiet time with him ministering to you. And that love will take over your heart, and you'll be a changed man or woman because of it. You won't have those fears. You won't have those hindrances in your life that to self, because self has died. You've given it up, and all you want to do now is to love on your brothers and sisters in any way you can. You want to serve them like Christ served his people, served us. And when you do that, that shows God's power. You know, the one thing above everything I believe that grieves God's spirit is that lack of love. And let that sink in a minute. That's the one thing above everything that grieves God's spirit is that lack of love. So God is perfecting his saints. He's perfecting his holy ones in these days now. And he's doing a great job. And he's doing a quick job too, you know, with people. The only way that you can prove that you love God is to love your brother. And that's probably one of the standards of which God's going to judge your love to him, is your love toward the brothers and the sisters in the kingdom. We know we've got people out there that are arrogant, that are prideful, and all those other things that we run across. We've all been that away ourselves at some point in time in our life. So, you know, just cast it down. Blanket, veil your eyes and your ears with the love of God. I've been reading a lot of Andrew Murray here recently. I hadn't in the last week or so, but I love to read in there because he puts it in such succinct ways. The love of Christ and how the Christian is supposed to walk as Christ walked. And all we have to do actually is go into the New Testament and read the Gospels to find out what God said about everything. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is a good example of what the Lord wants from us. And I'm looking here. He said, blessed, this is when he was doing the Sermon on the Mount. He says in verse 3 of Matthew 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What is the poor in spirit? That's the people that have died to self and died to pride. There's no more pride in them. There's no more self in them. They're Christ-like. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4 says, blessed are they,
blessed are they
that mourn. Malcolm, you need to mute again. Okay. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. These are the ones who mourn over the sin, you know, that we've had. We mourn because of the sin that's been in our life, and we shall be comforted, you know, when we stumble. But we realize we stumbled. That's when it's good. And then we repent and get back on the road. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's pretty plain right there. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You need to, if you don't have a hunger and a thirst for the word of God and righteousness, you need to ask God for it. He said you can ask him and he'll give it to you. Ask anything in my name and you shall have it, he says in John 14. He also says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. So that's all we got to do. If you're lacking anything in Christ, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We should have mercy upon everybody that comes up around us. And by that, it's showing them the love of Christ. And then you'll obtain that mercy from the Lord. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Praise God. You know what that means, pure in heart. Thank you, Lord. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. What's a peacemaker? That's somebody who keeps the peace no matter what. I remember that that preacher over in Africa that had the argument with his wife and left the house and went to some kind of, going to some kind of meeting, had a wreck, killed him, stayed dead for, I think, 3 days. They embalmed him, took him to one of Reinhard Bonnke's meetings, came back to life. And he told a story about going to hell. But the Lord told him he's going to hell because he had anger. He had unforgiveness in his heart. Anytime that you have an argument with somebody or somebody, the anger rises up in you, that's unforgiveness. And God is not pleased. And that's what happened to this guy. He had anger in his heart. He had unforgiveness in his heart. And the Lord showed him. He said, I'm gonna show you where you were destined for. And then I want you to go back and tell my people. And he said when he got back, he said if something started to rise up in him, he'd go hide in the closet or go hide in the bathroom to keep from having that continue on in him. He didn't want any unforgiveness in his heart. He knew what hell was like because he'd been there. The slightest uprising in each one of us, you should cast it down. You should immediately cast it down. I command you to go in Jesus' name. I'm not going to have this against my brother or my sister. That unforgiveness will send you to hell. Blessed are the peacemakers. Always, always tone down things that ain't come with love. You know, I'm still learning. We're all still learning how to do that. But we are learning. As long as you're going forward, the Lord will honor that. Blessed are they that have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Anybody that tries, that has the Lord walking them on that holiness walk, has been persecuted by the church, by family members, by old friends, old secular friends. It just happens. They come against you because you're wanting to look like Jesus. You want to walk like Jesus. You want to please the Lord. You get persecuted for it. Well, the Lord says, that gets you into the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall reproach you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Well, same thing. That's the same thing. We've had that happen here quite often. Matter of fact, you can, you know, it's all over. eliminate all manner of evil and lies and the slander that goes on for God's sake. He says to rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Amen. The Beatitudes. There's something to look at every day. And to align your life with them. Sometimes we talk a good talk, but we need to walk out that talk as well. I know in my life I've failed miserably in the past, but I still get back up and I tell the Lord, you know, Lord, I failed. But I know that you're going to bring me along because you've done it in the past and you'll do it again. And you repent and you get back on the road. It's a process. Next time you'll do better. The next time you'll do better. And the next time after that, you'll do better. I want to encourage you. The Lord doesn't want you to fail. He's not sitting up there with a ball bat ready to knock you out into hell. He's up there with a loving son, and his son is interceding for all of us because he knows that we're trying our best and that we fail at times, just like his disciples failed. You know, we all fail at times. But God is merciful, and he's just like Michael was talking about, his grace is more abundant right now. It always has been, but he is pouring out some grace right now, I'm telling you. And Father, we just thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that for your grace and your mercies upon our lives. We need it, Lord. We definitely need it. And we ask for your grace and your mercy to show us, Lord, and to teach us this love for each other. Place it in our hearts, Lord. I hunger for that love that you want us to have for our brothers and sisters, Lord. That self-sacrificing love, Lord, that you want each of us to have for each other. And I just praise you, Lord, that you're doing that. That you're taking these old stony hearts of ours, Lord, and molding them into that fleshly heart that you want us to have, that one that you can mold into that way that your son did on this earth. You want us to walk as well, Lord. And I praise you, Father, for all that you're doing. Amen. Okay, it's time for somebody else. What do y'all think about this? The things that are happening in the world and where we are with Christ. Are you satisfied yet? I'm not.
No. Michael, what you were just saying sort of ties in with the word that Glenda Linkous put out today.
Oh, really?
Can I read that?
You can if you'd like, yeah.
Okay, she starts it with a personal statement here. She said, "I was worshiping the Lord, and I saw great dark clouds covering the whole earth, great panic and terrified people. Only the Christians were calm. I sensed a great storm, but could not see what kind or where it originated." Then she relates what the Lord said. "The storm approaches, my children, but you need not fear. Abide in me, and all shall go well with you. Reach out to those you love now, those who do not know me. I give you now a special anointing to reach them and others who are lost. Speak to the darkness around them and command it to recede in my name, and it will obey you. Seeds planted now shall return a great harvest of seeds. Go forth and plant, my bride. Do your works now while there is time, for the night quickly approaches. Hold fast to your faith now and take care that no man deceive you." That's the end.
Amen. Yep, we need to rest. in that sabbatismal rest that the Lord's in control. And he's got each one of us in his hands. That Psalms 91 kicks in. And that the things that are happening around us, look, it's going to get terrible out there. It's going to get destructive out there. But we understand. Don't go be one of those murmurers like Moses had out there in the wilderness when this time comes on us. There's going to be times when it's going to be shortages. All we need to do is just trust in the Lord. The Lord's not going to let you starve to death. He's not going to let you thirst to death. He's going to test you to see if you're going to be a murmurer. Do you truly love the Lord? Or are you going to be resting? Are you going to be in that sabbatismal rest? Okay, Lord, I understand. You're going to bring some bacon for too much longer. I just believe it. And, you know, just rest like Stan was talking about in that prophecy. We have to rest in that knowledge that God's in control. He is. He's sovereign. He's a sovereign God. He's got everything ordained before the world was ever formed. And he already knows what's going to happen in your life, in my life, in every one of us's life. So we don't need to worry about anything but where we are with him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Stan. Praise God. All right. Anybody else like to add anything?
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Somebody shared a dream that they had with me. And it was another tsunami dream, and it was just a huge, just a wall of water coming in. And in this dream, he ended up running. Basically, how I saw it is, he went to a house that was on the beach, and he saw it as far as a house that was built on the sand, and he saw the waves stirring up. And then he saw the waves, you know, there was people on the beach, and all of a sudden the waves got bigger, and then this wave came in and wiped everybody off the beach. And he realized it was serious, so he went to leave, and all of a sudden he looks around, and there's just a massive wall of water coming. And he ended up having to leave his car and his belongings and all that and just run. And I saw that it was, you know, the things that were important to him, he had to basically just run. So he ran in the wilderness, and, he wasn't taken out by the tsunami. And he had mentioned to me that he went on and, you know, and there's just a ton of dreams like that with tsunamis. He just was amazed at, you know, the dreams and the visions people are posting with tsunamis coming. And then we talked about it, and it was, is this a physical tsunami or is this a spiritual tsunami? You know, because a wall of water, I mean, water can be a good thing, like the word, or it can be judgment, you know, like the flood. And, if you're in the water before it, you know, comes slamming in, and I see a wall is separation, and, you know, it's separating as far as that. And, as the word says, is to fall on the rock and don't be crushed by the rock, you know, as far as that. So as a type, I guess the gist of it was, is that, you know, this could be a spiritual, you know, spiritual tsunami coming, or it can be a physical tsunami. And but either way, the tsunami's coming, and it's going to bring destruction. And you may end up running into the wilderness with just the shirt on your back. But if you go back for the things that are important to you, your things, you know, your car, your, you know, the things that, you know, you think are, you need to hang on to, you might be crushed by the tsunami. So I thought that was a pretty interesting dream and kind of thought on it. So, but I'm going to share more as far as probably on Thursday, but I'll I'll share a little bit as far as what's transpired over the last couple of days. But it was Sunday afternoon. Trish and I were pretty much just in the Word and the rest. And I mean, it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I hadn't even taken a shower yet. And I was getting ready to just jump in the shower and really start our day. And I get a phone call, and it was my cousin, and he was at the nursing home with my mom. And he was pretty adamant. He's like, you need to get up here now. And basically told me that my mom was waiting for me. That's why she was hanging on. And I said, how do you know that? And he said, she talked to me in her eyes. And I said, okay. And we ended up hanging up. And first thing I did is I threw a fleece, because my prayer to the Lord is that he would let me know when it was time to go. And so I was like, Lord, are you telling me that I'm supposed to go? And I threw a couple quarters and I got two heads. And I said, okay, Lord, you need to confirm this. Give me a word about going to the city. You know, I was just kind of, I threw out a bunch of things, you know, just to speak to me. And so I ended up, by faith, I asked for a verse, and I got a verse, and in the verse it said, go straightway. And I was like, okay, Lord. So I just did a few things real quick and threw a few things in a bag and just jumped in the car and took off. And I started, as I was going down the driveway, you know, I prayed for my trip. I prayed, you know, protection and that. And then I just started praying in the Spirit. And the trip, I mean, it's usually an 8 or 9 hour trip. And I basically just stayed praying in the Spirit. And I got on the highway, and I was just going down the highway, and I was just really entering into the Lord. I was praying in the Spirit, and it was going from, you know, my normal tongue, and it would get louder, and then it would go into like a warring tongue, and then it would come back, and I started just singing in the Spirit, and then this whole time as I'm driving, I'm just in the Spirit, and you know, different things would happen. All of a sudden, I looked over at somebody else driving, and it looked like somebody that was like totally drunk or totally on drugs or something like that. And my first thought was to go into judgment. I would just pull back into the Spirit, and I would just start, you know, blessing him and praying for him and praying for their deliverance. And I would, you know, I'd be driving, and then the Lord would put something on my mind, and I would just start, you know, just you know, praying for that situation. And then I was like, I was just trying to just stay in the Spirit. But it was very easy. It was like so easy to just, yeah, I mean, I was just driving, and I was singing and just in the Spirit. It was just so awesome. And I'd drive by a billboard for an adult bookstore or something, this lust thought would come in, and then I would just take authority over it, and I would just, you know, just be breaking the strongholds, the principalities and powers over that place. And I was like driving through cities and praying over the cities, and it was just, I mean, I was just like, it was just an awesome time. And I was just, you know, and I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, I know you can translate me. And I believe you could translate a car. And I was just asking him. I mean, I had the faith saying, Lord, I would love to be translated. I mean, I just make this trip short. So I was like in an awesome place with the Lord. And I mean, the time really went fast. I felt like, you know, I was almost translated, because the whole time I was just in the Spirit. I made one stop, and even when I was out pumping gas, I was just praying in the Spirit, and I jumped back in the car, and I took off, and I, you know, And I was traveling over the speed limit, and I was asking, you know, just mercy and grace over that, and with, you know, just to get me up there. And I get up there, and I get out of the car, and I'm just on cloud nine with the Lord. I mean, I'm just pumped up and that, and I go and I buzz in, and you know, it's almost like midnight, and I buzz in at the nursing home, and a nurse meets me at the door, and I'm just like, you know, just all, you know, keyed up, and she meets me at the door and says, I'm sorry to tell you, your mom passed an hour ago. And I don't know, it didn't faze me, and it was like, man, you know, I know God is sovereign. And, you know, I just knew he was sovereign. So she took me into her room, and the thing was, is that everybody had left there to go home and take a nap because they knew I was going to be there at 11. So everybody had left. So I go in there, and it was just, you know, my mom and I, and, I'm like, okay, Lord, why am I here? And I was, you know, kind of questioning, but I was just in such a great place with the Lord. And, you know, these thoughts are going through my head. I mean, it was like, you know, am I supposed to raise her from the dead? Am I supposed to do these? I mean, I'm like, you know, what's going on here, you know? And so I'm sitting in the room, and I just start praying in the Spirit. And I had my Bible with me, and I'm like, okay, Lord, I know you're sovereign, and you know, I just was just, you know, praising him, and I said, you know, Lord, I need a word right now, and you know, for my mom and what's going on here, so I asked by faith, and he gave me a word, and it was just an awesome word, and it was about going to Mount Zion, and there'll be no more mourning. And it just, the joy of the Lord came over me, and I was like, okay, Lord, I mean, I came up here, I was obedient, I'm just trusting you, you got a plan. And so the next thing you know, I get a call, and it's my cousin. And this is the one I've shared with you that, I mean, his whole life has just fallen apart. And I found out just, you know, just prior to this, that is, you know, he had asked me to pray for his dog, or actually he did. My sister said that his dog ran away. And I found out that the neighbor found his dog dead. He got hit by a car and Gary, you know, he was dealing with that. And then he came in, and he would, you know, I ended up telling them that, you know, that mom had passed, and I could tell he was taking it hard, and he was actually on his way up. He called me, he was in his car, and he said, all right, I'll be there in a few minutes. And he came in, and I mean, he was just, you know, just broken. And I knew the Lord spoke to me and said, this is why you're here. So, I mean, he just sat down and he just started reminiscing that, you know, this is just bringing back memories of seeing his wife, you know, laying dead in the hospital bed. And, you know, he's just bringing back all these bad memories about, you know, going to see his sister in a coma and finding his mom and all the things that he's been going through. And I just sat there and listened to him. And, you know, he was like, just pouring out his heart, and I was just, I was there for him. And then, I was just waiting on the Lord. And then my sister comes in, and she was the one I was really worried about. And, I gave her a big hug, and I just had the joy of the Lord on me. There was just such a peace in me. And she walked in, and she saw me, and our eyes locked, and there was just a connection there. And we ended up we ended up, you know, just, I was just there for her. I was just an anchor for her at that time, and I thought she was just going to totally break down and lose it, and she didn't. You know, she was, the Lord gave me words of encouragement, just gave me words of wisdom, and I didn't let it, you know, I didn't let her go into emotion. I just brought everything to the positive. And it was, you know, it was a pretty awesome, you know, time there. And so we just, we hung out a little bit, and then we ended up going to breakfast. And there was just a lot of things that happened, a lot of emotions that came out, a lot of talk and that, and I just knew I just had to be weak to the weak. They had both been drinking, and I was like, okay, Lord, you're going to have to guide this. And I was just trying to steer the conversations, you know, and just, you know, just to bring it to the positive and not let it get into, you know, because everything that was coming out of my cousin's mouth was just cussing and swearing and, you know, just, you know, and I just saw the bitterness and hurt and unforgiveness. And I mean, it's just, I was just seeing all these demons. There was just a legion of demons on him. And he's telling me how he almost killed somebody. You know, he saw somebody, he went to a high school reunion a couple weeks prior, and he saw somebody push his wife, you know, and he went over to him and says, hey man, you can't do that. I mean, that's a woman, that's, you know, you can't be pushing your wife around like that, you know. And the guy went over and just basically took both his fists and punched his wife and knocked her down. And my cousin, he said he just, everything cracked inside. And he laid this guy out, and all he wanted to do was kill him. And he said that he said there was about 8 guys that pulled him off of him. And he said something cracked inside. I just, all I want to do is kill this guy. And, you know, he's sharing these stories of what's going on in his life. And it's just like, you know, the enemy, I just see the curse just totally, totally destroying him. And I see the curse totally destroying my family. And I'm just, and all I can do at this point is just pray for him. And so I just, that night, I went back and I was just sleeping on my cousin or my sister's couch. And I only got about 2 hours sleep, and I woke up, you know, I mean, it was like 4:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock or something. And I just started praying. I was like, Lord, you gotta do this. And so it was, I'll get into more detail because I'm a little tired right now, but the bottom line was I got up the next morning to a phone call, and it was from my Catholic sister, and she was not at the nursing home that night, and she called me up, says, hey, can we go grab a cup of coffee? And I said, yeah, where do you want to meet? And I met her, and the Lord just totally prepared her heart, and I was able to speak into her, and I just, it was awesome. It was absolutely awesome, and she had never received from me before, and she sat there and didn't say a word, and it was, the Lord totally did it. And then we ended up going and picking up my other sister, and we had to go to the nursing home or go to the funeral home and make all the arrangements and that. And I was just there to be an anchor for them. And the Lord did some awesome things there. You know, I'll go into more detail Thursday night. I just have to put everything together. And as far as everything that was done, and I'd called my cousin up and I said, hey, do you want to go to lunch? And he ended up getting tied up, and we ended up meeting up for dinner, and I ended up spending. I met him at a restaurant, and I came in. He's sitting at the bar having a cocktail, and I went up to him and I says, "Hey, can we go get a table?" And he's like, "Yeah, sure." And I sat down, and the waitress came over, and I ordered a club soda with a lime. And he sat there for a minute, just looked at me, and I prayed all the way there, and I bound up those spirits. And he looked at me for about a minute, and I mean, it was like a minute. He just stared at me, and then he looked up at the waitress, says, "I'll have a club soda with a lime." And that was like, praise you, Jesus. You know, it was like so awesome, because I didn't want him to sit there and, just drink all day. And so he started with his unforgiveness and his bitterness and all this, and I was able to, just start praying and bind that up, and I just got real bold with him and said, I got something to share with you, and I'm not going to preach, but I'm going to basically tell you a little bit of my story, where I was at, what happened to me, where I'm at now, and what I see in you. Are you willing to listen to me? And I said, if not, I'm not going to waste my time. And he said, yeah. And I basically talked for over 2.5 hours. And he sat there, didn't swear, didn't drink, didn't, rebuke anything. He just sat there and absorbed, and it was just the most amazing thing. And I ended up leaving there. Told him I loved him, and he told me he loved me back, and I could tell his head was swimming. He just didn't know what to do with the information I gave him. And I challenged him. I mean, one of the challenges, I'll go into more detail, but the bottom line is I challenged him to read one chapter in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, one of the first chapters, and ask the Lord to speak to him, open up his eyes. And I told him just read one chapter. And just read it and just let God teach you as you're reading it. And because I talked to him about unforgiveness and bitterness and demons, and it was awesome. And I left there and ended up going to my little sister's house, because that's where I was staying, and her and her husband are just total alcoholics. And I came in, and they were at a neighbor's house, and they came back home, and I was in the Word, and they came in, and I sat down at the table with them, and I'd never really talked to her husband. I mean, he was never open at all. The Lord had touched my little sister somehow when she was in high school, and he started asking about my cousin, because he was concerned about him. And I said, I had an awesome talk with him. I shared my testimony with him, and shared what I saw, what was going on with him. And my sister's husband asked me, what do you mean your testimony? What's your testimony? And it just opened the door, and I ended up just sharing my testimony, what God did is done in my life. And that went from, that was probably 2 to 3 hours, it was probably like 3 hours we talked. And he was just totally, and he's another Catholic, and I found that out, and he was just totally blown away. And so I ended up, You know, it was just, this is all orchestrated of the Lord. We got done. I laid down, back down on the couch, fell asleep, you know, woke up this morning and left and, you know, drove back home. And it was like the whole time I was up there, I mean, it was all the Lord. It was all the Lord. And I just saw him just prepare hearts. I saw him bound up spirits. I saw him, I mean, just do amazing stuff. I mean, it was just such an amazing thing. And I just saw so much answered prayer. So right now, I just want to pray that the seeds that were planted, that so Father, right now, you are so awesome that I've been praying for my family, and I had no agenda, I had no guile, I had nothing in me. I just wanted to be used of you, and I just went up there humbly, and Lord, you just blew me away as far as what you can do to a humble servant. So, Father, we just thank you for that. We just thank you for just everything you've done. I thank you for every seed that that was planted. Lord, I just ask that you just water those seeds. You just put a hunger for truth. You put a hunger for righteousness. You put a hunger for just getting to know you and getting to know that relationship and with you, Lord. And I just bind up the enemy. I bind up just any spirits of doubt or any spirits that would try to steal what was planted. And I just forbid that in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just ask that you just put in them a hunger for truth. And Lord, that you just work in my cousin. Lord, that you just put in him, you give him dreams or whatever it takes to get into the Word, to open up that Word. And Lord, I just ask you just speak to him and minister to him. And Lord, I'm just believing for his salvation, Lord, and that he needs some Word in him before, you know, that Word is going to start to deliver him. And we just praise you for that, Lord. And I just ask you to bless them all and just continue to work on their hearts and continue to work on their salvation. And we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Boy, if it's going to be any better than it was tonight, Thursday night, I can't wait. I tell you, tears fell down my face, Tim, because of the goodness of God that he's shown you today and yesterday. It's just awesome. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to add? Share.
Michael or Tim or Michael?
Yeah.
I was just thinking that I think that on this conference call, there's going to be a time when the glory of the Lord is going to just fill this conference call. The chains that are on all of us are going to be just broken off. And I just feel that this is something that's just coming. And I just wanted to give you my heart thoughts on that.
Amen. I receive that in the name of Jesus. All right. Anybody else? Anybody need any prayers? Well, Lord, we just thank you for household salvation. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to you in faith, by faith, and pray for our loved ones, and that you'll do a mighty work in them, Lord, and you'll do a mighty work in us anytime that we talk with them, Lord, that you'll give us words to say, and that wisdom of the Lord will be with us, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that Tim's cousin for his salvation. We thank you for his sister's salvation and their sister's walk with you, Lord. We just praise you for the work you're doing in Tim's life and his family's life. And matter of fact, Lord, I just thank you for the work you're doing in all of our lives. And I thank you, Lord, that when we these prayers that we put up for our family members over the years is going to bear fruit, because you told us in your word that when we pray and we believe what we pray, that we shall have it. And we've all got family members. We've got friends that we've been praying for, that you've placed in our heart to pray for. And we know there's a reason for it, and that is that you want to save them. You want to bring them into the kingdom, and that you are. And, Father, we praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing word that Michael Montana gave us tonight. Father, we just ask that it bear fruit in our hearts and in our lives in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for the powerful testimonies that people have given tonight, and a word that we've gotten. We just praise you for it. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, we just ask that you guide us in these days to come, that you place us all in that rest and that knowledge that you are sovereign and that you're in control. We have to know that, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that your grace does abound much more than normal in these days ahead, Lord, because we're going to need it. We got to have a lot of grace, Lord, to take care of the things that you want us to take care of in the days ahead. I ask, Lord, that you give each one of us direction, the direction of where you want us to be. If you want us to move, if you want us to go, if you want us to leave, if you want us to stay, Father, I ask that you give us great, bold confirmations in those questions, Lord. And I praise you for it. I thank you, Lord, for the intercessors that are in this conference call. I ask, Lord, that you bless them immensely, that you bless them with your presence, Father. And Lord, I ask that you place it in all of our hearts to pray for one another in the days ahead. And I thank you, Lord, that Thursday night is going to be an awesome time with you, and that the word of God is going to be shared, and that the testimonies and glories of you, Lord, that lift you up are going to be shared. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you that there's not going to be any communication problems, that everything's going to work like it's supposed to in Jesus' name. And I ask, Lord, that you bless everybody on this conference call tonight, and those who couldn't make it tonight, Lord, with a good night's sleep, with dreams and visions of the things ahead, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We love y'all. God bless you, and we'll see you next Thursday.